السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. التائبون العابدون الحامدون السائحون الراكعون الساجدون الآمرون بالمعروف والناهون عن المنكر والحافظون لحدود الله وبشر المؤمنين. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام، most respected brothers, we were discussing these verses of the Quran Sharif which I just recited, and in the verses before that in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala talks about those whose wealth and property, whose wealth and lives Allah Ta'ala has purchased in exchange for Jannah. I have been emphasizing on these attributes of a Muslim and a Mu'min so that we may understand that just our loud and bold claims to Jannah is not sufficient. Just on the basis of a little bit of zikr, a little bit of tilawat, or a little bit of dini khidmat and activities that we may be engaged in, or some social work that we may be doing, then we guarantee Jannat for ourselves. That the door of Jannat, our name is already written there. Why? Because we did something about Islam. Some action of Islam, some deed, some action that we practiced, now that is why we are now guaranteed Jannat. Whereas you can see that in all these things, there have been attributes, qualities, sifat, characteristics, traits which have been mentioned of a mu'min, of a believer. Besides all the other things, just in these verses, how much we have already discussed. Now how much do we have of that in us? So we were discussing that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that He purchased from the believers, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ, their lives and their wealth in exchange for Jannah. And why Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says in exchange for Jannah, although He gives so much in this world too, but He says in exchange for Jannah, I discussed that. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala after that describes the sifat and the qualities of these people who became bayat upon the hands of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they are believers, meaning that they have got certain qualities in them. The first one that is mentioned in these verses is that At-Ta'ibun, that they truly repent. They make sincere tawbah from all their sins. And this I think now we have discussed 120 times. What are the conditions of sincere tawbah? Because if we don't keep those conditions before us, then we will take it for granted. Just tawbah, tawbah on our tongues, and we think everything is maaf and finish, and we return to our old sins. Sincere tawbah, that the person regrets, he repents, he is ashamed of the sins that he committed in his past life. As far as the future is concerned, he has no intention of returning to those sins anymore. And this is that area, that grey area, or that area where we all find great difficulty not to return to those sins. Many times I have mentioned that we will be sitting in a majlis of tawbah, we will be sitting in a masjid on a Jummah day, and we will make tawbah. But at that very moment that we are making tawbah, we have got no intention of throwing that chip that we have of the casino into the dirt bin, or to flush those drugs down the toilet. We don't have any intention of that. That we'll put those drugs in the toilet bowl and flush it away. Or that those illicit beloved with whom we have some kind of appointment and relationship, that we will terminate that. We have no intention of that. All those goods which we have hijacked, those consignments, those containers which have been hijacked, or the goods which we have taken illegally, fraudulently, or those checks which we signed fraudulently, whosoever we took for a ride, as they say, although that ride is very bumpy, not very smooth. When we take somebody for a ride, that person doesn't enjoy that ride. So we have no intention of returning those goods, we have no intention of repaying that person whatever is due, we have no intention of asking those people whom we have hurt without justification, forgiveness, but we say we made plenty of tawbah, plenty of tawbah. Maulana, my tears wet my musalla. And in Arafat, my ihram, you always say Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's ihram got wet with his tears. Maulana, mine also got wet with my tears. So much I cried. So much you cried, but what about those orphans' properties that you digested? What about those widows' goods that you took? And what about all the illegal stuff that entered your premises? And what about all the haram that you usurped? So this is something that we have to make sincere tawbah from. Otherwise it is not sincere tawbah. So Allah Ta'ala says, At-ta'ibun, that these people, their first quality is that they've got tawbah in them. As human beings, they are bound to make some mistakes, make some errors, commit some sin, some evil in their lives. Now that is human being. He can make a slip. He can make a slip, no matter how alert and how cautious the person is driving, but he can still make a slip and he can still cause an accident. That is acceptable. But then sincere tawbah from that. So then that is one sifat, which we have discussed to some extent. We cannot do justice. We can carry on the whole year. We won't finish this one sifat, the sifat of tawbah. There's so much that has been written. Read Imam Ghazali, Rahmatullah alayhi, Ihya'ul Ulum, and read the other works of Ibn Qayyim, Rahmatullah alayhi, and so many others. See how much volumes they have written on tawbah. So that is the first thing, At-ta'ibun. But let us proceed now and go on to the next one. At-ta'ibun al-'abidun. Another sifat, another characteristic, another quality of those people whom Allah Ta'ala says He has purchased their lives and their property in exchange for Jannat, are those people who are from the Abideen. They are those who worship Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. They are the slaves of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. They completely submit themselves to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's will and desire. In every department, in every avenue, in every aspect of their lives, they've got ibadat. Not only in the masjid when the person is making namaz, we call that ibadat. That is haqiqi ibadat, that the person is making salat, is making zikr. Those things are haqiqi ibadat. But the fact is that that is not the only ibadat. Ibadat will mean that this person, in whichever activity of life he is going to question himself. That what is my Allah pleased with? How must I conduct this business? How must I bring up my children? To what extent am I allowed to participate in this activity or that? Everything, the person, he does everything as Allah Ta'ala has ordered. That is ibadat. So if we say that Jannat is reserved for us, then we must see how much of ibadat is in our lives. Together with namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, which is haqiqi ibadat. Now we must also see in all other aspects, all other departments, how much of submission is there to Allah Ta'ala's will and desire. That is ibadat. That the person must become a true abd of Allah Ta'ala. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his greatest sifat that has been mentioned in the Quran Sharif is abdiyat. Subhanallazi asra bi abdihi laylam minal masjid al-haram ilal masjid al-aqsa. So we must become a true abd of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Until we don't become a true slave of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then once again all our loud and bold claims be just pleasing ourselves. Unfortunately in these days this is what is happening. A little bit of ibadat, a little bit of zikr and tilawat, a little bit of some dini khidmat, and we think that we have reached the highest stages. There's nobody now that can surpass us. But yet if we look into our homes, in our home life, in our domestic life, in our economic life, in our political life, in our social life, then we will find big, big gaps, great distance between ilm and amal. Our ilm and knowledge will be so much that we will excel, but when it comes to amal on that knowledge, then the weakness. Even shaitan feels ashamed of some of the sins that we commit in spite of our knowing that it is haram. Shaitan does not stop whispering to whomsoever it may be. We must never think that Shaitan has given up hope now, that this person has become an angel and therefore now what is the need to really whisper into his ears. Such kind of statements Shaitan makes people make, that it shocks us beyond belief that this person coming from a good background, from a good home and with knowledge, and how can he make such kind of statement? Or how can he indulge in such kind of sins and vices? Whether that person is a Haji Sahab or is a Mufti Sahab or a Qari Sahab or Maulana Sahab or whether he is any kind of Sahab, he must not think that Shaitan has given up hope. These days so much of complaints we get. How can that Maulana do such a thing? How can that Haji Sahab do such a thing? How can that person with beard and kurta do such a thing? How can that woman with cloak and scarf and hijab do such a thing? Well, remember, Shaitan hasn't given up hope on anybody. The maximum effort that he makes is on a Haji. Or an alim, because if he can manage to mislead one of them, then after that the whole world gets misled. So he will make a maximum effort, whether it is a mujahid or whether it is a person who is very generous and sakhi, the person is making a lot of sakhawat, or the person is making a lot of ibadat, or is making a lot of zikr and tilawat, or is making hajj upon hajj and umrah upon umrah, or he has got a lot of knowledge, or he's doing a lot of dini khidmat, going from this town to that town, this city to that city. He's going to make his maximum effort. He's not going to leave those people. Because we deal with cases, we know what is happening. So what I am saying is that that person must not think that he has become an angel and Shaitan is not going to now whisper anymore. Again, that example comes to my mind. And why should we leave it if an example comes? That the person, he, because it was very, very cold, snow had fallen, so there was a huge snake that was appearing lifeless. It was a very huge snake, but it was appearing lifeless because of the cold, because of the snow. It did not die. It was just appearing as if it is lifeless. So this person who was passing by, when he saw this huge snake, so he said, well, this is something that I can make some money out of. So he took that huge snake and he went to another village. And there, it was nice, bright sunshine on that day. So he dragged that snake along and he brought it. It's an example. He brought it to that village. And there he started bragging about his expertise in catching huge cobras and pythons and big, big snakes. And he said, look at this snake. What a huge one. And this is how I caught it. And this is how I brought it. So people were very impressed. And people then start giving money. But as the sun's warmth, the sun's heat began to penetrate the body of the snake, and the warmth came into that body of that snake sprang back to life. And when it sprang up and it raised its head, the first one to run was that person who brought it. He was the first one to run. All his expertise all was over. So from this example, what does he teach us? What lesson does he give to us? The lesson that Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Ali gives to us is that our nafs, with a little bit of mujahada, you can suppress it. It will begin to appear as if it is lifeless. In Ramadan, when we are making all the zikr and the tilawat and the ibadat and the crying before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and so many people have given up their businesses and everything else and sat down in atikaf, not going out of the masjid also. Now in the masjid, if you are going to be there for 10 days, what sin you are going to commit there? You're not going to commit adultery, fornication and all kinds of sins there. So in the masjid, now 10 days, the person is making ibadat, zikr, tilawat, crying before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So it appears as if this nafs has now become lifeless, as dead. It appears as if it is dead. But it's not dead. All that has happened is that because of that snow now, how that snake was appearing lifeless. So like that, that nafs has become a little bit suppressed. But just go outside the masjid again and give it a little taste again of that zina and a little bit of taste of that fornication and a little bit of taste of those evil movies that were being watched before sitting in atikaf and before being in the masjid in the month of Ramadan and before making all that ibadat, zikr and tilawat. Give it a little, let it get the warmth and the heat of watching evil, listening to evil, speaking evil. Let it get a little bit of heat of those sins again and see how that snake of nafs springs back to life. And that same snake will bite that person after that. So let us not think that we have become angels and finished now. Shaitan is not going to whisper into our ears at all. So ibadat, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, At-ta'ibun al-abidun. That they are those who have got the sifat in them. That they are true slaves of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. True abds of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Whatever Allah Ta'ala is pleased with, they do. And we must not think that every time you listen to this, that whatever Allah Ta'ala is pleased with, we must do, and whatever Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is pleased with, we must do, and whatever they are displeased with, we must stay away from. This is like some kind of song that you will keep listening to all your life. No. That is where our success lies. We keep talking about success. Is anybody finding any kind of success in all the other things that they have tried out? Everything has been tried. So many different places, conferences, seminars, big mass meetings, march on the streets, and picketing, and this and that, and so many things we have tried. Why is it we can't see any kind of success? A person came from one country, Muslim country, the other day, he was talking to me. He says, in a certain area, they made some kind of research, investigation, some kind of survey, and they found that in that whole town, a big city of that particular country, I don't want to mention that country, in that big city, barely 5% were 5-time namazis. 5%, I'm not talking about 95%. Barely 5 to 10% were 5-time namazis. They could have been casual namazis. Casual namazis we get plentiful. Aat ki, khaat ki, and 360 ki. They make one Juma Salat, one Janaza Salat, and one Eid Salat. That we get plenty. So now when that is the state of the Ummah, how can other things help? When Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is so angry and so displeased with that community, in whose life even Salat is not present, what about the other areas? So will Allah Ta'ala's rahmat descend? No matter what we try, no matter how much of claims we make, we have to make use of all the means and try everything else too. But success will not come until we do all that which is pleasing to our Allah. And it is not difficult, it's not something that's beyond our means, that we just cannot do it, it's impossible, we are not born to do it. Allah Ta'ala will then be, na'uzu billahi, very unjust Allah, that He's asking us to do something that we cannot do. So they are those people who have got this sifat in them, they've got this trait in them, that they are true slaves of Allah Ta'ala. They worship Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala sincerely in every aspect. Al-Hamidun, that they are those who glorify and praise Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Any achievement that comes their way, they look at how this achievement came. How did it come? As I've mentioned many times, that whatever a person achieves, what is it? What do you want to say? So whatever achievement a person has, he is going to use something to achieve that. His intellect, his physical strength, whatever knowledge he has, anything that he has used to achieve whatever he has achieved, then the bottom line is that all those were ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. They were bounties of Allah Ta'ala. If Allah Ta'ala did not give him that intellect, Allah Ta'ala did not give him that physical strength, Allah Ta'ala did not give him that wealth and money, he would not have been able to achieve any of those things. So they always glorify and praise Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That it is with the fazal of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that I have been able to achieve this or that. Majal hai kuch bhi kar sakun main, jo tu na tawfiq ay khuda de. Teri mashiyat hai sab pe ghalib, yehe chahein sab mere irade. Oh Allah, how could I have really achieved anything if it had not been your fazal, it had not been your ihsan, it had not been your gift, it had not been your bounty that you showered upon me. As-sa'ihun. The month of Ramadan is gone, but the fact is that those people have got another sifat, that they fast. We can keep the 6 fasts of Shawwal, we can keep other nafil fasts, and in the month of Ramadan keep all the fasts. So those people who are believers in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, one of the meanings that is given of Sa'ihun is that they fast. And that is Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala and Rasul Mufassirin. He has said that As-Sa'ihun ya means that one of the sifats of those mu'mineen is that they observe the fast. Because only a mu'min can keep fast. We're talking about the Sharia fast. Diet, everybody can go on a diet. There's many, many, there are many, many organizations, weightless organizations, many people go on diet. We're not talking about that diet. That diet non-Muslims can also go on. But we are saying when you are told from dawn to sunset, even if it is a 17, 18 hour day, not to even take one sip of water, not to go close to any kind of food, or don't put any kind of food into your mouth. The person has got a pretty wife, he just got married. It's the second day of his marriage and Ramadan started. And it's a 17 hour fast. What is it that restrains this person from any kind of haram? If he's indulging in haram, that shows he's not a true believer. But if he's restraining himself from food, drink and his carnal desires, then it shows that he has got iman in him. So this is one of the sifats, that this person was staying away from those things solely because he was conscious of the fact that my Allah is watching. And that example I have given now many, many times, that at the time of iftar, no matter how delicious the food in front of the person, and if it's just 3 minutes to go, the whole world's mufti sahabs can tell him, now open your fast. He will never open his fast. He will say, still 3 minutes to go. Is the hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that the fast must only open after sunset. So no matter how weak the Muslim in his iman, but at the time of sunset, for the 3 minutes, he's not prepared to sacrifice. He says, I will wait until the sun sets. So should we not be saying the same thing with regards to every other aspect? Is it not that same Allah Ta'ala's hukam that we must pray 5 times a day? Is it some other Allah's hukam that? Is it not that same Allah Ta'ala's hukam that we must give zakat, that we must go for hajj farz? Is it not that same Allah Ta'ala's hukam, you must respect your parents, you must be obedient to them, that you must be good and kind to your wife, to your children, to your family, that you must not steal, that you must not commit adultery, you must not commit fornication, you must not commit fraud, you must not indulge in other kind of haram activities? Which other Allah's hukam is that? It is that same Allah who said that your fast must open after sunset. It is that same Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So why is it that we are so strong when it comes to that, but when that opening of the fast, the other aspects of our life, where does that same question go? So they are those who keep the fast. Hazrat Ikrama radiallahu ta'ala says they are the talib ilm, the students of deen. They are the people. And it is also mentioned by others that it is the mujahideen of Islam, that those who make sayahat. We'll continue from here inshallah if Allah ta'ala gives life, health and another opportunity. But you can see from what I'm getting across to you that the problems of the ummah can only be solved, and we can only find a solution if we bring these traits in our life, we bring these characteristics in our life. Muslim is somebody that has got something in him. He's not just a name, Muslim name. A Muslim, when we say he's a Muslim, then a person of iman, then he's got some characteristics. The non-Muslims also, when they look at him, they say, this is a Muslim. If he doesn't have that, then we can call himself how much Muslim, but he's not a Muslim in the eye of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So indeed there are problems, and major, major problems. And it really hurts, deeply hurts, that the masajid are being bombed. People making salat in the masjid, they are being shot. Homes are being destroyed. Bombs are raining. So much of destruction. And the whole Muslim world is just sitting and watching. With all the ammunition and all the war equipment that they have, and all the missiles and all the jet fighters and bombers and everything they've got, for nothing else but just to shine them, polish them and have one show once a year. That's all. But it is an azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that's upon the ummah. We must go out of our way to assist and help those who become victims, because amongst them could be very, very good people, pious people, and we must always think everybody else is better than us. We must not think that is happening to them because of their sins. It can be a major test for them of their iman. And who knows, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants to give them quick shahadat. There are many people who cannot reach Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. They cannot get jannat. They cannot get Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's closeness and Allah ta'ala's pleasure because of the sins that they are indulging in. But one accident, the person dies, he gets shahadat, some kind of shahadat, and he gets jannat. One jihad, one bomb rained, so many people died, they got shahadat and they got jannat, which they would not have been able to gain by hard work and hard effort. So we must make dua for them, assist them financially in whichever way we can. But the main thing is we must take lessons, that we must not do those things which bring azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.